This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares one of the three segments of the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, November 10, 2020. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format with some of the school committee and central office personnel in the council chambers. The remainder of the committee and the public was on the conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. The meeting total runs 2 hours and 35 minutes, and I've split it into three logical segments. The first segment covers the opening through the superintendent's report, which covers the topics of the reopening status, including the testing for Franklin High School athletes and theater students to enable their return this week. That runs about 48 minutes. The second segment covers the presentation and discussion on the portrait of a graduate. That runs about 47 minutes. And the third and final segment covers the discussion action items through to the remainder of the meeting, about 60 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to my notes. The meeting packet folder, also linked, will hold the superintendent's report and the portrait of a graduation presentation copy. Those are usually posted to the folder the day after the meeting. So let's listen to this second segment of the school committee meeting of November 10, 2020, covering the portrait of a graduate.
I guess we're ready to move on to guests and presentations. Dr. Ahern.
Thank you. And before I jump in there, I want to make sure to say thank you to our alumni donors who sponsored the testing. So I want to make sure to extend my gratitude. So the next item on the agenda is guest presentation. So we have a presentation coming to you as the school committee. It's a long time coming. We were hoping that this would come to you last winter or spring as a culmination of the efforts of a number of people who are on this call and part of the visioning work that we've been doing with the community on a portrait of a graduate. So we have a presentation for you tonight around the portrait of a graduate. You know a lot of the background information related to it, but we have our product with respect to a draft set of indicators and descriptors, as well as a graphical representation. And this is being presented tonight to you for your input and feedback. We are not asking for you to adopt it yet. It will come to you for a vote, but we wanted to present it to you first and hear your comments. And so I'm joined tonight by a few key members of the steering committee who led the work. Dr. Edwards, as you know, as the Assistant Superintendent for Teaching and Learning. Paula Morano, Director of Student Services, and Lucas Jagir participated here from Central Office from the beginning. And we are also joined by middle school principals Lizzie Morrison, Paul Dupre, and Becky Motti. And they have been also participating since the inception of Portrait of a Graduate. And then Josh Hanna, as high school principal, has joined and come quickly up to speed on the process and outcomes. And we are pleased to have him joining us as well. I have a presentation. For you this evening, we'll walk through the process share a little bit about how we got to where we are, and then share ultimately, I'm most excited to share the work that Anne-Marie Tracy has done. She came on board partway through the Portrait of a Graduate, has been participating in many of the discussions in order to prepare a compelling graphical representation of our Portrait of a Graduate. And so we're happy to have Anne-Marie joining us as the marketing and communications specialist. So what is Portrait of a Graduate? It's a snapshot of what a Franklin High School student will practice and develop as they work towards graduation. It serves as an umbrella for all of the other initiatives in the district, and some have termed it the North Star for system transformation. So as we think about the next strategic plan, the strategic plan that was put in place when I joined in 2017-2018 covered 3 years, 18 to 21, and we will be in a position to think about our next strategy for improvement, and the Portrait of a Graduate really captures kind of that visioning piece. I'm taking the vision out of sort of a static sentence and giving us a community-based consensus of what we are aiming for with our high school students. And maybe to Tim's point earlier related to just how remarkable our students are, I think we saw and see it every day in a variety of ways. As the umbrella for strategic improvement through the system, it would encompass learning experiences from preschool through grade 12 and beyond, so including our transition students who stay with us beyond 12th grade. And so it's not just a high school endeavor. It really is something that the entire system is aligned towards in terms of curriculum assessment and instruction. And our goal is to create future ready contributors to society in college careers and beyond, recognizing that the world is changing. The world is changing very rapidly, and we need flexibility, adaptability, and other skills. So the question really came forward to the community, what are those future ready skills that our students are going to need by the time they graduate or into their futures? So the portrait of a graduate defines these skills and was created by building consensus from the community. It began with professional development in the fall of 2018. We had been partnering with Ed Leader 21 as well as other like-minded districts. And so some like-minded districts in Massachusetts include Needham and Shrewsbury and Natick, among others, but this is actually a national and international endeavor. And so this professional development was held in Arizona, I believe. Joyce and Paul Dupre and Paul Perry attended with districts all across the country and even the world, and saw what some other districts were doing with their portraits of a graduate and how they were aligning teaching and learning to their vision. Following their attendance there, we put together our steering committee of administrators, and we began the process of building consensus in the community, which covered a time span of January to September of 2019. And we went about this by doing a ton of listening. We hosted a number of focus groups throughout the community, starting with the big administrative team, about 40 people, in January at the high school library. We had a workshop with the then members of the school committee. Each faculty and staff had, through a staff meeting, an opportunity to weigh in on their vision of the graduates. We held community groups, and in the community groups, we invited parents and guardians. We had middle school and high school student representatives. We had some elected officials joining us. We had some business partners, we had higher education partners, joining two community groups, and we brought in an outside facilitator to help us with that. And then the Special Ed Parent Advisory Council was also part of a focus group. And I should say we had some discussion at the joint PCCs as well, as we were building consensus. The concept was shared at the senior center. So I had gone to the senior center to talk to the seniors and elicited their thoughts and ideas regarding what skills students would need in the future. The school committee, community relations subcommittee shared information about Portrait of a Graduate through community coffees, as well as various festivals in town to share the ideas and get input. Mm-hmm. The data collection was largely qualitative. We weren't necessarily looking for people to rank order certain items highest. We certainly identified themes and patterns that emerged based on the most common skills or attributes that community members were putting forward. However, every now and again, too, somebody would come up with something that wasn't included, but seemed to be really important. And so we wanted to be sure to capture that. And we knew we were on to something special. This whiteboard was in our office as this for a long time, with words circled, moved around, clustered together to try to coalesce various ideas into a smaller list. And I knew that it was something special when the board itself became a conversation topic. It was the location where I would interview final candidates to the district for teaching positions. And numerous candidates would look at the board and would tell me that they wanted to work in a place that where this meant something. And so they gravitated towards it right away and would use it in the interview to talk about the ways in which they wanted to impact children in the school setting. We did some work with Representative Jeff Roy when he was working with the Student-Centered Learning Commission on a report that they were doing. And we held a meeting in the conference room, and he wanted to capture it and grab a picture of it to take back to the working group that he was part of as part of student-centered learning. So this became a huge source of pride. And we were all, I think, a little bit sad to see the words go. But then Anne-Marie took over, and you'll see what she put together, which is much more beautiful. After we had some initial drafts through the winter of 2019 and up until March of 2020, we sought feedback on the initial set of skills and descriptors. We reconvened focus groups. We surveyed the community, including faculty, staff, families. And perhaps the most rewarding thing, at least for me, but I think I can see Paula's nodding her head and Joyce as well, and I imagine the middle school principals would say the same, was when we brought the list to some middle school and high school groups and asked for their reflection and feedback. And the groups that we brought it to, I think, were a pretty broad representation of students in the schools. And we did that intentionally because this really needs to encompass all types of learners and all students. So we really did seek out broad representation of students for their feedback and for their discussion. And in the conversations that we had with kids, they really, I think, gravitated towards the language, but then started talking about the ways in which they do see it in school or the ways in which they wish they saw it in school. And really, I think, was just super helpful feedback as we think forward to how this can be and will be implemented in the future. So we developed several iterations during this time and ultimately came up with the one that's in your packet. We've already seen that the draft has been informing work in the district. We know that we need to hold on to some of these ideas loosely until the school committee adopts it. But we did sort of question whether or not is now the right time to continue to put this work forward. And the steering committee had a discussion about the ways in which it already is informing the work in the district. So it feels very natural to continue to put this forward, despite the fact that we're in this crazy year with the pandemic. Last year, when Joyce and I ran a curriculum workshop for curriculum leaders in the district, we incorporated elements of Portrait of a Graduate into the curriculum design process so that our educators were building units that didn't just rely on the state frameworks, but also took a look and considered the skills in the Portrait of a Graduate that students would need to be practicing through their learning experiences. And the building principals had commented how they are using this with their faculty. And so it has already begun to inform some of our work. So it felt very natural to continue it at this time. So we ended up with five areas that we've kind of changed a little bit since you may have last seen this if you participated in the focus groups last winter on the feedback. So we have confident and self-aware individual, empathetic and productive citizen, curious and creative thinker, effective communicator and collaborator, and a reflective and innovative problem solver. And in your packet, there are additional bullet items, and I'm not going to read through each one of them, but additional bullet items that capture some of the big ideas that people had shared and wanting to make sure that they fit in with a larger heading. So in a confident and self-aware individual, we heard people say that they thought students needed content knowledge, that they needed social emotional skills, mm-hmm. Perseverance and growth mindset, that they make healthy decisions. So that would be found within that. Empathetic and productive citizen, social awareness, inclusivity and consideration of others, ethical reasoning, integrity, demonstration of civics. Some of those big ideas were shared with us through the consensus building process. Curious and creative thinker, asks questions, analyzes and synthesizes from multiple perspectives, is flexible of thought and creative. An effective communicator and collaborator, listens with an open mind, respectfully inclusive, culturally aware, uses multiple communication strategies, contributes to teamwork, including conflict resolution and consensus building. Those are all items that people had talked about in multiple focus groups. And then reflective and innovative problem solver, analyzes problems from multiple perspectives, goal-oriented, forward-thinking, and applies technologies as appropriate. Again, these are ideas that came from members of the community that we synthesized into some larger areas. I mean, we had hundreds of words and then tried to organize them into some key areas. And Anne-Marie has been working on a compelling graphic to pull it all together. and so I can turn it over to her if you wish to see what some of that looks like.
So we have a different presentation. And I will turn it over to her.
Thank you very much. Well, first of all, I'm so excited to share these. I feel like it's been I've been kind of hiding in my computer for a long time, so I'm super excited to share these with the school committee and with the community. As Sarah had mentioned, I came into this process partway, and the majority of the time when I was at the meetings, I spent just listening and soaking it in and really just trying to wrap my head around all the work that the committee had been doing and gather inspiration from what they had done. The board was fantastic. It was really great. I looked at it constantly when I was thinking about the graphics and just trying to come up with a way to represent all of the work and energy that went into creating the description, the definition of Franklin's portrait of a graduate. I want to thank everyone in advance for trusting me to do that work. I really feel quite honored, actually, to have been given the role of creating a graphic to represent everybody's work and all the effort that went into it. So without further ado, the portrait of a graduate. So the goal is obviously to create a graphic image that captures all the concepts, inspiration, and messages. There was obviously, as Sarah had mentioned, so many people that were involved in getting to this point. So I really wanted to make sure that we were thinking about everybody who was involved. The creative elements. These were basically used as the springboard for the general design of the graphic. When I would listen in at their meetings and when I first went in and learned how they had gotten to the point that they were at when I joined, there were certain images and certain ideas that kept coming up. And those included the concept of an umbrella, the concept of a North Star, the concept of a compass or directionals or setting students on a path, and then obviously graduate imagery with it being the title of Portrait of a Graduate. So those were a lot of the inspirational pieces that I started with in order to come up with a basic design. As you'll see, a lot of those actually are very circular in nature. So when we get to the graphics, you'll see how that kind of came together. The text components were obviously a huge piece of this as well. The title of the design is Portrait of a Graduate, and it also needs ownership. So the title of Franklin Public Schools has to be included in the graphic. There are a couple of different ways in which I used those, the title and the owner, either combined or separately. And then obviously the five key phrases that were compiled by the committee of confident and self-aware individual, empathetic and productive citizen, the list right there that you can see all five of them. From a design perspective, I was super excited about the number five because I love working in odd numbers. I think that it really automatically creates some interest in a design rather than something being completely symmetrical. So having five from a design perspective was a nice thing. And then my process, just to give you a little of a bit of an idea of how I came up with it and how I got to the point of creating the graphics, just sort of combining all of those elements that I knew had to be included and considering the importance of each or the hierarchy. So how much, how big should some text be? Should some text be the largest? Should it be centered? Should it be on the smaller side? Just thinking about what the eye should be drawn to first and how important those text components and other components of the design are. Just some artistic considerations of balance. When you look at a design, it's sort of the comfort of it, you know, that it feels like it's where it all belongs and all the pieces feel like they're in the right place. Contrast is a huge piece, especially when it comes to readability. You need to make sure that there's a lot of either change in value or change in tone in order for the ability to see pieces of it. And then focal point and flow. It's sort of this automatic thing that when you first look at something, your eye is drawn to one area and then automatically, without you thinking about it, sort of moves around a design. So that did come into play of just thinking about what the first thing someone would see when they looked at that design would be and how their eye would travel around it. I thought a lot about color schemes, which I'll get into. And then I developed five icons that represent the five key elements, and you'll see all five of those in the designs. They're used throughout. The one piece that the committee agreed, and I agreed as well, obviously, to avoid was any type of human figure that had an identifiable characteristic. So you won't see gender, you won't see race or age or anything that identifies a figure in any sort of way. So the colors, this was fun. colors have a lot of meaning behind them. And the colors that are used in the design, there's five separate categories for the five key elements. The first one is obviously the blues of Franklin, the Navy and Carolina, which we find all over our town and our athletics and, you know, all over our schools. We're using a brick red, which is representative of the Red Brick Schoolhouse, which is a big piece of history, education in Franklin and the history here, which I thought was important to make sure we tied into the graphic. Spring green is a color that's used to represent new beginnings and also the growth from K to 12. There's a warm golden yellow that is used to represent happiness and positivity. And then also a warm orange to represent enthusiasm and determination. And while all of those colors are obviously different, they all fall into the warm family, so they work harmoniously together. Fonts. Just a little info about fonts. There's a variety of different ones used. If anyone wondered what sans serif, or I think it's serif, it means without letter stroke, so it doesn't have those extensions on the letters. You often use those when fonts are more condensed because it just makes it easier to read. And then there are serif fonts, which have those extensions, which make it a little bit more formal and can add some character to that font. And in one of the designs in particular, there is some script, which is an expressive font. There's obviously lots of very graphical fonts available out there right now that are thematic, but these are the three main types that you will see. So here are the five icons that represent the five key phrases. Each one has all five colors included in it, and each one has a different background colors. So they're all individual in that way. The first one with the orange background represents empathetic and productive citizen. You'll see it has three figures in different colors, and the umbrella represents sort of that empathy of that protection and really thinking about the citizens in the community. And then the hand coming up underneath is representing the productivity and being part of something and just being an active participant in your community as a citizen. The next icon with the puzzle pieces and the blue background is representing effective and communicator and collaborator. It's pretty self-explanatory with the puzzle pieces and the hands coming together. The center one, confident and self-aware individual. This one was the last one that was developed, and the figure is showing the expressive strokes and the hand held high with the confidence, but then also showing a mirror to represent that they are self-aware. The background shows a horizon with the path going back, and I have to give a shout out to Paul Dupree for that particular piece of that icon. He brought that up, and I thought it ended up being a great addition to it, showing the figure sort of going off on a path. Reflective and innovative problem solver is the light bulb with the green. The pieces inside are gears, and again, a fairly self-explanatory image that just talks about, innovation, obviously, and just having those light bulbs go on and really doing what you can to solve problems. Curious and creative thinker is the last one with the two pieces separated as a left and right brain. And then you see a magnifying glass of the question mark, representing the idea of being curious and asking questions, and then a blank canvas on the other side, open to creative expression. So this is the first graphic, and you'll see a lot of them have some similar pieces. To give you an idea of where the initial design came from, the circle and the separators that are breaking it apart is intended to look like an umbrella from above, very stylized, but that's the thought process behind it of what an umbrella would look at like if you looked at it from the top and being separated down by the, I guess it's the boning. You could see the center, the text in this particular design is portrait of a graduate as the most sort of prominent text with Franklin Public Schools below. The compass rose is centered, which is also one of the key elements of design that were brought up by the committee, and it's offset on purpose. I think it's kind of important for the compass to represent that not everybody has to go on this perfect straight path, that you can go a little left, you can go a little right, and that can still be the right path for you. So it's offset on purpose, which also lends itself to sort of a more interesting design. And one thing you'll notice in this piece is the icons are framed in white. In some of the other designs, they're not. So just something to make note of, whether you like that or not, having the white around it frames it and sort of, like I said, provides that contrast, but it makes the icons have to be slightly smaller. So that's the downside of those choices. The blue going around, it's in two layers. So you can see that it goes from light and is a gradient tone all the way up to a very, very dark blue. And that is representing the building of knowledge and just the layering of knowledge and building up and getting deeper. And they're offset, again, just for that balance. So one, the dark is on one side and the light is on the other. But this is one of the first design. I know there's a couple little, imperfections in it, but whenever we get to that final one, it'll be tightened all up.
Imperfections, really?
Well, there's I see little things, I think. But another thing just to note in contrast, you'll see with the words that go around the outside, when they're on a deep background, they're white. And when they're on a light background, they're done in dark blue. And again, just for readability. The second one you can see, it's very similar, but it's a sort of a simplified version of it with only the one ring of the gradient blue representing the umbrella going around. This one is designed sort of more like a seal where it has that you know, circle around it that encompasses it completely and frames it. The phrasing in the center of this design is a little bit different, where it's combining the portrait of a graduate and the ownership of Franklin Public Schools together. So it's a portrait of a Franklin Public School graduate. So just something to think about as far as phrasing, if you like the combination of the phrasing or if you like them separated. And in this design, again, a lot of the elements are very similar, with the tilted compass, the gradient tones, and just the slightly larger icons without the white framing around them. And obviously the graduate image with the mortarboard and the tassel. So this third one is a little bit different. This one really focused in on the compass design. You can see the compass is larger. It's the main background. And again, it's tilted a little bit to the side. Portrait of a graduate is framing the top, but I added a big F to identify Franklin on this design in the center. The icons go around the bottom, and in this case, the descriptors are probably the smallest that they are in any design. They wrap around the icons rather than being sort of separated from them on the outside. So again, just a different way of connecting the icon with the text by wrapping rather than having them live side by side. And I just put this one up here because I thought it was a really great way to see the difference of what it looks like when the compass is straight and what it looks like when it's offset, because it really does make a big difference in the composition as far as interest and balance and just making it look a little bit more artistic. And then this is the final design. Again, a lot of similar components. The compass in the center, the F, although this is a different font for the F, it's not as blocky. It's just a different one altogether. Gradient tones, this one has the framing around it, the seal design. But this design really focuses the attention at the top for the portrait of a graduate with the large mortarboard and tassel, and then the script portrait of a graduate to really name the design. This is the only one that is not completely circular in nature, obviously, but it does combine a ton of elements all in one. And this is the only one that has that North Star, which you can see is kind of added on to the end of the A, just as a little element up in the top. Mm-hmm. But again, you see the same icons, the same concepts, just put together in lots of different ways. And then here's all four of them next to one another. I think that's always helpful to be able to see things next to one another. Again, you see all, there's certainly many similarities, and there were more designs than this that were brought in, and we sort of kept narrowing them down until we found these four were the strongest ones that really felt like they encompassed the work and all of the inspiration and the text and the messages that are found in the definition of portrait of a graduate. But when you look at them side by side, you can see the differences in the Fs. You can see the differences between an icon that is bordered versus an icon that's not bordered. So just all four.
Good.
Great. So just to conclude, I'll just speak to, I'll leave these up, but speak to the last slide of the other presentation. What we're looking to do here tonight is share this work with you. I hope as part of the formal presentation, we've got some other folks who are here who participated in this and who may want to comment or answer questions. But tonight is for discussion and input and feedback from the school committee. Mm-hmm. We would take your input from tonight and make some revisions and then bring back a final product for adoption, ideally on the November 24th meeting. And I think what we would probably aim to do with the graphics is bring back two. So rather than have four choices and run the risk of not having a majority vote on any particular graphic, come back to you with two based on your feedback tonight. And then as a system, as a school system, work towards incorporating the portrait more explicitly into our work. So that, you know, I think starts with the learning experiences that students are having, and the work that teachers are doing to plan for those, align the portrait of a graduate more explicitly to our committee work, and making sure that we're being really explicit about the ways in which each of our committees that's running is tied to the skills of the portrait of a graduate. Link it with some efforts at the high school. This dovetails really nicely with the expectations that the high school had put together as part of the NEASC process several years ago. So bring it into the high school and the program of studies. Work with the administrative team and the community and the school committee on the next strategy for improvement, and then also incorporate it in the budget process, knowing that we're prioritizing our portrait of a graduate as well as our district improvement goals and strategy for improvement in support financially. So those are some of the next steps. And so look forward to your questions and feedback, and want to also give other people an opportunity.
Did you say, just to clarify, did you want, when we give feedback, to pick out a, to give a preference for one of the designs tonight? Is that one of the things?
I don't think you have to share your preference.
Okay.
Perhaps if there's one that you would eliminate or take off the table.
Oh, okay.
But your input or feedback will bring two back to vote.
Very good.
Nice.
Excellent. So I think what I'll do is I'm going to go through, but this time I'll go in reverse order. So Elise gets to speak first. If you have comments, suggestions, anything you'd like to add.
Hi, thank you, Anne Marie. Amazing job. Really, these are so beautiful. I was involved in a number of the focus groups and have been so excited about the visual, because I'm such a visual person. So it's really great to see this. I think some of them remind me of the CASEL five core competencies, which is a social emotional learning thing, which maybe that's purposeful or not. Either way, it works, I think, because that's a core value of the district. Are we supposed to say which one we like best or no?
Just what
do you think, Anne? I think.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe if there's just as part of it, something that maybe that stands out to you that you're kind of drawn to, maybe there are a couple of them, and then just to give feedback, that would be probably a good thing. Just
that's
to,
a good way to say it. So I think the compass really resonates with me for a number of reasons. And I think the one where the compass is most prominent is the one with the light blue circle with no outer.
So number three.
Yeah, the slide I'm looking at, it, they're not numbered, but yes, number three. Anyways,
very
great
good.
Job. It looks great. And I think anything that brings, you know, consistency and cohesion and can sort of, everybody can look to in all the committees, all the planning and budgeting and all those things you said, Dr. Ahern. I think anything that sort of helps with that is really appreciated and valuable.
Thanks, Elise.
Thanks.
Denise.
Well, I know that Anne, Elise, and I attended focus groups in the past, so we know how much work has gone into this. So thank you, everyone, for all of your hard work. And Anne Marie, as always, everything looks amazing. Great job. I did have, I think, two questions. So is there going to be any kind of professional development required for the portrait of a graduate? Have we planned for that?
So I think that professional development as it pertains to the portrait of a graduate would kind of naturally fit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be up to us to sort of, similar with the committee work, point out those explicit places where the portrait of a graduate ideas fit. And that would dovetail with any work that we're doing around curriculum development, unit development, assessing students. So it'll be incorporated going forward into ongoing PD and ongoing curriculum development work that we have.
And then maybe at a later meeting, are we going to talk about how we measure the progress of students?
Yeah, that's a good question in terms of measuring progress. We purposefully in the text talked about how students would be practicing these and developing them over the course of their time, because we struggled with this idea of mastery. Mm-hmm. Many of these are lifelong skills. Mm-hmm. And so to say that they've mastered something by the time they graduated, we really, I think, intentionally are thinking about these as lifelong skills. But we will, through the curriculum development process and building learning experiences off of these, be talking about the types of assessments that are going to support the development of, like, measuring these skills, and the instructional lessons and activities that go with it to support that.
Okay. And then just one more.
Sure.
So it's at the bottom of slide 9, it says budget proposals. So is there going to be any kind of budget implications?
I wouldn't say budget implications, but just the same way that the district improvement plan has driven the budget development process in the past, this will become incorporated into kind of budget development going forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome.
And I like number 3.
Okay, very good. Mary Jane?
Thank you, Anne Marie, for putting this together for us, and to, you know, the administration for supporting the effort, going out and getting the opinions and thoughts from so many people in town, and from everyone in the schools. I do remember being part of one of those groups with the previous school committee, and just with the number of people that were there, the number of things that came out, what was important to me was not as important as something not as important to someone else, but everything turned out, some element of it was something that we really wanted, all of the kids who graduate from Franklin, to possess. So thank you. And I'll have to look at those graphics again. That was another fun process, going through the graphics. Have the compass a little more to the left, a little more to the right, have it smaller, have it bigger, use this font, not that font. Thank you. That's it.
Okay, thanks, MJ. Judy?
Okay, I have a couple. Let me just make sure I understand this. In order for a graduate to graduate from Franklin High School with all of these 5 fantastic attributes, that would have to start from the kindergarten all the way through, correct?
I would say preschool even, as sort of the foundation. These are, I think, on a developmental continuum.
Okay, now all of these attributes are what any one of us would like to see in every single person we meet, every single person we work with or deal with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Uniform, whatever we happen to be doing. But isn't some of these functions the function of the family with the child? Why is it now the function of the school department to do this and not the family? Well, shouldn't the family be there to give the child confidence and self-awareness, to have them be empathetic and productive, curious and creative, an effective communicator, collaborator, and reflective and an innovative problem solver? Aren't those the functions of a working family?
So I think in terms of what we ultimately put together, I'm not sure. I think the family certainly plays a role, and there had been conversations as we put these attributes together about ways in which schools and families partner towards the same ultimate goals. So I don't think it's mutually exclusive. I don't think that it's saying that these are happening, kind of without, in schools, but not at home as well. I think certainly families play a role in the development of all of these areas, but the schools do as well. You know, certainly we don't want to encroach upon you know, certain areas of family values, but I do see through learning experiences that students are going to build self-awareness and confidence and some of those social emotional skills, as well as that innovation and problem solving. So I think it goes hand in hand with, you know, kind of the partnership between schools and families.
Okay, and I just have one more question. After we were elected last year, I was in one of these focus groups, and my question at the time was, how can the Franklin School Department afford this? You know, how is this going to affect the budget? And then, of course, it's going to affect the budget. You know, so it's a normal purpose, et cetera, but can the town of Franklin afford this? Thank you. Well, I haven't picked a number yet.
Oh, pick a number.
I have to look at them again.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Okay, Tim.
Yeah, so great comments by everybody in front of me. I love the presentation by Anne Marie. The depth of thinking that goes into design is it's always amazing. I really love the compass visual. You know, I think this is a very admirable initiative, Portrait of a Graduate, and you know, the idea of the compass and the simplicity of the one. I think it was three where the compass really stands out. I would echo, I think, what Elise said on that one. And I love that it's kind of like off, you know, off-centered, that, you know, symbolizing that everyone doesn't need to take the same path. I think that's great. That's where I'd vote.
Is that it, Tim?
That's it.
Okay, good. Jen?
I think just quick kudos to everyone on the committee for your dedication and hard work on this. I think it's great to finally see a tangible output for some of the conversations that we've heard over the course of the last year. So I think that that's great. And I don't have a favorite. I think they're all great. So.
Okay, good. I just want to say, obviously, thank you as well, the hard work and all the administrators and all the time people put into the work of this, because it does provide this incredible blueprint for us for curriculum, for alignment, all the things we talk about all the time. But I think, to me, what makes it most powerful is this was made up of every facet of the community. So this vision, it makes it a lot easier when we have this powerful vision, when we do go to create the budget, when we talk about it, to say, what do we need to put in a budget that's going to support these things? And then we have that whole, because this is what the community says they want for their kids. So what are we going to do to, how will we support it in a prudent and a careful way, mindful of you know, being conscious of the funds in a community. But so anyway, thank you everybody for all your work and for the presentation tonight. Thank you. And oh, I like three, but I also like one. So I'm going to put those two both in there because I find I kept getting drawn to one also. So just saying.
With one being the...
Or second choice.
No, you're trying to sway the audience.
I am.
One as presented in the presentation?
Yes, yeah, the one that...
Because it's not...
And not in the same order.
I yeah, the number order. One that was yeah. presented. I just, that's the one I keep, you know, when I look at them and that, but I do like three in the comp, you know, so I would, you know, I'm just saying that. Was that a bee that was going around you?
It's a fly.
No, it's a big fly.
Oh, I was wondering because I'm trying to look at this and then I see you.
It's a big fly.
It's a big fly. Anyway, any other comments from the committee? I didn't want to cut anyone off. We're all set. Okay, thank you very much.
I want to be sure to thank the steering committee, Paul Dupre, Josh yes. Hanna, Lizzie Morrison, Becky Motti are here on the call, and Paula, Lucas, and Joyce have all been a big part of it, and there has been a tremendous amount of work.
It is, it's that's huge. Yeah, it is. So thank you all. Yeah.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.